The ants are eating the things.
Oh, boy. There's our guy fast asleep again. All right. Good morning. It's Monday, and we've got Dave Levinson here. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave. You guys are keeping it nice and light for a Monday, hey? You actually need a comedian like every Monday.
Listen,
we went heavy.
No. I don't think it's been that heavy. We go through a bunch. You heard about the monkey being electrocuted that shut down Sri Lanka's door. How much more fucking entertainment can I give you on a Monday morning?
I need a piece of tape over my mouth.
I'll tell you what it is. Often, and for the last couple of, in fact, like pretty much every time I've had comedians in here, with a few exceptions. We had Gilly on the other night. The other day she was in London, and she was on the show live with me in Warris, and she was lots of fun. And actually, a lot of the comedians are getting better at this. But my God, there was a stage where every single time we had comedians on the show, it would become like a therapy session.
And it's supposed to be funny. Like a comedian wants to keep it light. What I just want to say, there's a camera there. The desk is there. I feel my crush is here. This is so cool. I'm just going to chill now. I like the new couch.
Nice.
Back to bits.
Very great. Good.
Well, it's nice to see you. Nice. And just show them your yellow shoes.
I'd like to show them. Can we see?
Yeah. I like those.
Very good.
I will kick your ass.
Onitsuka Tiger.
These are for road rage. If you get out your car with these on, folks get back in their car.
Do they?
They know something's going down.
Really?
This guy would never wear these on purpose. By the way, I did the 94.1, whatever it's called in these.
Yes.
It's the stupidest idea. Because there's no actual underneath.
Yeah.
What's the thing called? The sole. I did the 94.1 without a sole.
What is that riding or cycling?
It's a cycle
or
thing.
Running?
It's actually the 91.4.
Did you do that thing?
I didn't finish it, so I did the 94.1. It's a stupid race. But I did that for charity, for the blind kids or something.
Oh, did you?
I thought, for blind kids, I could win that. But I realized it was the charity.
Yeah, if you weren't riding against
Did a joke. I'm trying to not be your therapy session. Although your guy, old Anand, did help me.
Did he help you?
Because I'm getting chased by the banks because of COVID. You know, they sell your account to lawyers.
Yes.
So every day I get a call from, hello, Mr. David. We're phoning from H&M lawyers or B&M. They can't give a name. It's always B&M and H&M and M&M and B&M. And they've sold it to them. So now they just want that money.
Yeah.
They didn't realize that legally speaking, they're not a bank.
Yeah.
They're just a debt collector. So there's no interest on it. And I owe about 500,000 rand to different lawyers.
Still, it's horrible.
So I read it. I saw a nice thing about Tony Robbins?
Yeah, Anthony Robbins, yeah.
Tony Robbins. He said, reinvent yourself. Didn't say it like that. I can't do his accent. So I'm going to reinvent myself. And I like that Aussie guy.
I'm going to call myself
Piet Pompies Tromp. Piet Pompies Tromp.
And then get Piet Trump's Pompies attention Tromp. And he'll send you
$500,000, $50,000.
Yeah, exactly. It's nothing.
No, it's $25,000. But if he just sends it to me, I'll change my name to Piet Pompies Tromp. Then they can't find me anymore because I've reinvented myself, Gareth.
Okay. Are you going to try that?
Have you been busy?
You don't think they'll figure out that it's you? It's not going to be.
No, look, I do answer the phone. I love it. I answer the phone, and then I've got the TV on or something. Sometimes your show. Then I put the phone on a little stand. It's my lawyer stand, and they listen to your show
while
they're trying
to
speak to me. So then, you know what? And it's nice little. I'm doing something for you.
I appreciate you get that.
You get a call center where Jemima and Annabelle sit and listen to your show.
That's lovely,
Mr. David. Are you there? And I'm Gareth Cliff talking about lawyers and monkeys and Eskom. And then I don't know how long they stay on the line for, but I think everyone should do that.
You know, we need the numbers, so that's good. We need the numbers. I'm happy to be broadcast.
Does it
live
go down when James is on? Do you actually see the numbers going down when James does?
Yeah, when he did sport this morning, it actually dropped. No, it's true. I mean, we know what works. I've thought about this. So I did something fun on Saturday. I had some friends around, and we basically played blackjack, but not with money, just with chips. Someone at the table said that they had advice once that if you play with friends and they actually take the money, they're not your friends.
Yeah. And also, if you loan someone 5,000 rand and they don't pay it back, it's actually a blessing.
It is.
That person's gone.
You paid them to get out of your life.
And weirdly enough, as a comedian, I lost everything. I didn't lose everything. I lost everything.
Yeah.
I've still got people phoning me and going, Dave, my mom needs to fly to Durban. Can you give me 5 grand? I'll pay you back on Friday. Phoning me.
Yeah. And you're like, dude.
Not friends with them. Block.
And also, when you are in shit,
Yeah.
The ones who come to
help
you.
I get myself out of shape. Oh, no, the ones who come. No, I mean, family and that buddy that's there. Weirdly enough, it's my three comedian buddies that have literally famous. Are you okay? They know when you're not okay.
Yeah.
And then check the beep on your bank. There's R1,000 in there for some food or whatever.
Oh, wow.
They don't expect it back.
That's nice.
I hope.
No, that, you hope.
Sorry, Kurt.
I actually owe a family member some money. And I
change
can't
your name.
I can't remember how much it is. And I'm too embarrassed to ask.
Uh oh.
Can you do you ever phone Michael Mole and just say, give me some money, bitch?
Not related to
it. No, just because we have the same surname. But
I don't phone Barry Levinson, the great director.
Can you say to someone, how much do I owe you again?
Yeah,
it sounds so disrespectful.
Do it now. Look into camera two.
But do you not even have a ballpark?
No, and I'm terrible with numbers.
It could be
double.
5,000 rand, it could be 100. Is it that much?
It's at least 25.
Wow, okay.
But it could be.
How long ago did
70?
You borrow this money?
Also during COVID.
And you just.
What did you need 25 grand for?
You know
how
what,
much
Leanne,
is cocaine?
I got to tell you, like they've probably written it off.
Yeah, but I can never.
I was buying milk and bread.
Sure. Okay.
I found out what that thing's called.
What?
Where you see something that you don't need to see it because your brain doesn't need that information. So it literally shuts it down.
So that's why it's seeing the paradise.
Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
Okay. So
if you buy a Range Rover, a green Range Rover, for the next 3 months, you'll spot green Range Rovers, literally the same car as yours, which have been there the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There were lots of them.
Must be a German guy. Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. So you will have that phenomenon for so many things. It's also a cognitive bias. This is my therapy session. You'll see things that you want to see, and you'll shut down things that you don't want to see. And some of them aren't even true. So your brain makes it up for survival because you need to see that thing. It actually points you in that direction. You're going to have to survive on this fact for a few weeks because without it, you're pretty fucked.
So this is quite interesting. So when the brain becomes fixated on a particular topic or trend after first noticing it.
Literally every single person in the comment section.
If you're... Your sister falls pregnant, and then all of a sudden you start noticing there's so many pregnant women around.
Yeah. You'll notice there's a baby city in your shopping center
that you've never seen before.
I didn't know that Pep Stores does homeware.
No.
There's a Pep Home Store. So it's like Mr. Price. I don't know how it goes. What are the best shopping stores?
So maybe you get like
at home.
Well, whatever. You get the big ones, and then you get the smaller ones.
And there's Mr. Price Home, and then there's Pep Home.
And there's Pep Home.
So I think if you've got a kid at Varsity, you can literally do the entire room for the little dorm at Varsity without a tux or whatever. You could do the whole room for like 18 rand 50.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, you're throwing a free ashtray.
That's great value.
That is great value. It will last for the first year of Varsity.
Sure.
Or the first day.
And why would you waste any money getting really nice stuff for a Varsity
for a student? So that's happening.
It's going to take like a week before it's vomited
and
on. And
Secret Santa, you get a 200 rand budget. I'm heading to Pep, man. You're getting a carpet.
I always wondered about Morkel's 2 year guarantee store. Like, surely you want longer than 2 years on your furniture.
I think it's the 2 year guarantee was that it's going to take you 2 years to pay that shit off.
I won't phone you. I never went to Morkel's.
You know all those furniture shops are just loan companies, eh?
Are they?
Yeah, they just loan. If you can't get the furniture, you take your salary slip, and then they start a Ganeshi order on your salary, and you can get furniture. So they'll become loan sharks. The whole bunch of them. Bears really cares about your Ganeshi order. What was her name? Rita Lundman. No, who was in the 2 year guarantee? You Morkel's.
Morkel's. Your 2 year
guarantee store. I don't think anyone knew her name. We only knew the name of the uncle in the furniture business.
He wasn't even real.
No.
He's about as real as Roger Rabbit.
So that's an interesting thing.
We're keeping it light. Oh,
I wonder
God,
how many people buy furniture to fill up, because obviously your house is always your biggest expense, right?
Yeah. So you need
to. I mean, it's the thing that you pay the most money for.
Fridge, oven, cupboards.
Okay, so you're not even talking about furniture like from the point of view of filling rooms or being decorative.
Yeah.
You're just talking about the bare essentials. So like,
I want a chest for you.
Fridge. No. But I mean, like, these are the things that people have to spend money on in these furniture.
Well, normally you got your Stockfels where, say, now there's 10 of us in the Stockfel. We'll all put our salaries in for that month. So I won't have any money for this month.
Right.
I have the basics. But of the 10 of us that put in, when it's your turn on the clock, you'll get about 50 grand.
And I can buy the microwave.
You get everything.
TV.
And then when it's your month to not have, you'll not have. And that's basically, I mean, that's clever. That's a little bit of a socialist, communist stock file.
Yeah, but it helps for when you just can't get to those bigger expenses.
Well, I wouldn't go into a stock file with you. You still haven't paid back your family member. I mean,
and also, may I give some advice on financials? Please,
okay, let's
you must
go.
Buy Pepstor's home shares, Pepcor. The share price is currently 218 Rand. Very good buy there, Gareth.
Is it really?
If you want, I don't know. Do you do if a financial you like, if you want. I am not if a financial advisor. Please understand, comment section.
A Bitcoin butcher we had on the show the other day, he's in the comment section.
He came in.
Yeah, he came
in. He's a real person.
No, he's a real person. And he persuaded me that it's a good idea to get one of those Bitcoin wallets.
There you go.
The actual piece of hardware. So I'm
gonna my wallet was bought on William Nickel.
Look at you. You're rolling in cash.
School fees.
Oh. I was going to say, things have improved since COVID, eh?
Oh, shit. Then I don't know where I am.
Those lawyers are going to be funny. All right. So Bronwyn says, idea, pre-record the last-minute sports update to use as an ad break. Those who actually want the sport will listen then.
Oh, my goodness, James.
Janet says we had to buy a new lounge suite in November. 26,000 Rand. Mm.
That's for basic one, hey? Goes up into the 50s.
Wow.
If you go to the Italian place. So the reason why I'm talking about this is I didn't have electricity at my place that I rented since September.
Jesus.
So I've been doing COVID stuff. I've been a generator. And you just can't because you want it. Sometimes your Wi-Fi's on.
Yeah.
But now you got to start the generator just to have a wank. So now the thing is, the neighbors know when I'm wanking. Then I can't hear the story.
And that's not even the generator.
That's right. I use a very industrial lubricant. So now they can hear. And I can't hear the story on the porn because I'm into that. I want to know.
You want to know the story.
If the pizza guy, and does he get it? And is the mom stuck in the washing machine? That can be the washing machine. That's what I'm
saying. The mom's stuck on top of the
washing machine. November, December, went to Cape Town, January. So I finally moved.
You're quite a traditionalist, though, that you like the story.
I like the story.
It's important to you that there's a plot.
Do you know that I was the Penthouse magazine art director?
Were you?
I laid it out.
No, come on. Ready? Tell us.
You know, I used to work for Ralph Boffard. I'm sure you must have met him back in the day. And I was the layout artist. And we had a guy from the government who would come and see what we've got in the magazine.
The government.
So there was rules about back then.
Okay.
Now, not anymore,
so Lost how Lake long ago are we talking about?
97, 96, 95.
And so porn wasn't legal.
No, so that was
so
magazine came in.
Okay, so for those of you
Lost
who
Life,
are too young to know about
Hustler,
this, they used to, if you wanted to see naked women, you actually used to have to buy a magazine, a paper magazine.
All the week.
And then you'd turn to the centerfold and there'd be a chick lying there.
So now I read the articles. That's what's wrong with me. Maybe that's
no,
get Dr. Anand on the phone.
So when you talk about the layout, you were
I was the graphic designer.
Okay, but you weren't DTP. Responsible for the layout, the way the chicks.
No, we'd get the. It was called, weirdly enough, it was called a tranny, which isn't what it is now.
Yes.
No, it's literally a photograph, which was see-through. So we got trannies, we scanned them, we laid them out. But there was a guy from the government that came there, and he would look at before the magazine went, we'd make a dummy copy for him or her, and they'd come and see there was rules. So you could show certain types of nudity. There was an amount of nipple you could have. You'd count the nipples in the thing.
Oh, really?
There wasn't allowed visible bush.
Oh, really?
And obviously you couldn't put a knob in there. And one day there was this opening shot. So we look at it, and Sean, my art director, goes, that's an amazing, like really beautiful. Rocco Siffredi was his name. And he's standing by the bookshelf fireplace, and there's a girl getting ready to do whatever. But we didn't notice his thing was already out.
Oh.
Just in a waistcoat with a little fob watch, looking fantastic, looking dapper, and that went to print.
And did they come after you?
Oh, they were angry. And who was they angry with? They was angry with me.
You, because you did the
operator with a mouse and quark.
It's amazing that there was a government guy. Imagine that's your job. This
count
dude,
nipples.
Yeah, he used to have to come out and count the nipples.
And he came with a magnifying glass, so he'd look through the pixels, and if he saw, like, say now there was a bit of pube, then we can't publish the magazine, bro. Nowadays,
what did he look
everywhere.
Like? I'm just curious.
Nowadays, people have pictures of their assholes on their
phone.
Did
he wear gray shoes and did he have a snorabart?
No, he kind of jeans and a jacket, but he enjoyed, he loved his job. He's like, Monday I'm going to Penthouse, Tuesday I'm going to Playboy, Wednesday I'm going to Hustler, then Lost
Life. What a stupid you talk about how governments make unnecessary jobs, right? And people are furious with Elon Musk.
I don't think
Musk
he was for the government. I think he just was.
You think he made it up?
I'd like to check the magazine.
He's
before,
a bullshit artist. He'd phone up everyone and go, I'm yet to.
I'll be 5 minutes. I just want to read the magazine. The government.
No one ever asked him for his credentials.
No one wanted his credentials all over. He put his credentials all over page 7. But that was my other job. I've had many jobs. But hang on. The reason why we're talking about this.
No. So I'm just thinking now, because this is such a big story at the moment. It's like Elon has already discovered some $300 or $400 billion of government wasteful expenditure, right? Just dumb, unnecessary, crap jobs. Mm. And then wasting money on people that are an absolute disaster. And you think about like how stupid our old government used to be too. I mean, our new government's stupid too, but new, 30 years in, we're still calling them new. That government was so obsessed with morality.
Yeah.
You remember?
And whose morality was it?
You couldn't tell jokes about certain things.
And also Mel Miller got arrested, a couple of comedians got arrested. Obviously, the progressive people got arrested as well. We literally died.
But doctors, I mean, imagine like the government, they used to have a censor, censor. Oh. And he eventually became...
Catching Rodriguez records.
He used to be the head of the Broadcasting Complaints Commission for a while, Professor Quibus van Rooyen. He was my law lecturer at university. And for a little while, I think it was 2 or 3 years, he was also the state censor. So he would have to go and listen to... So his whole day...
Listen to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Was doing edgy shit like listening to the Beatles in...
Peter Tosh was banned, Bob Marley was banned, all those things. Obviously because of the Dacha references. But also they had struggle songs in there. Yeah. Literally a song written about Johannesburg in the thing. Mm-hmm. That's right up till the 1980s, 89, 90. Mm-hmm. Scratching records at SABC.
Yeah. So that you couldn't play them.
And that made you want to play them even more. So every friend that came from overseas brought back
But you said just now, whose morality? So they wanted to stop people in South Africa from reading books that were outlawed, that would give people dangerous ideas, right? So they wanted to ban that. Then they wanted to stop music that was revolutionary.
And then they wanted to take the whole book away. They'd take that chapter out. So you'd be reading.
You'd read it, and then it suddenly wouldn't make sense anymore.
You know, I was reading the Anarchist Cookbook. A lot of the bombs don't work.
Yeah, because they took out the pages in between.
They took out page 7.
Like, but the funny thing is, it didn't make people more moral. It didn't make people better.
And yet they were the most, some of them.
You know, not seeing Bush, for example.
Most immoral were that island with the little boys that they were flying to there, or their own little parties that they had. There was definitely an underlying...
Yeah, but there always is. Like, you know, what did Shakespeare say?
When someone jumps up and down the most to stop something.
I think it's Shakespeare in King Lear. He says the policeman.
Make notes.
Oh, God, no. I don't want to screw this up because it's such a beautiful quote. But it's something about how the policeman lashes the whore for the very reason that he wants her.
Yes.
There's this bizarre relationship between
policemen and whores.
No, but just check your own morality. Little cupboard. Have a look in your skeleton.
Check out the skeleton.
They're correct. Normally for the same things that are in there.
Right.
Stop those things.
Well, it's always people who are like on the edge of being really terrible people who want to tell everybody else to do. Right.
So, like when I get home, I put my makeup back on, I get a brown desk, and I redo the show. And then I put like a skin mask on, looking like Leanne. And then I put some lotion in the basket. I do that all at home. But here, I'm very normal. But I'm moving. That's what I'm telling you.
So, where are
you
moving?
From my old place to my new place. So, I found a new place which hasn't got a kitchen or a bathroom. And it's got wooden floors that got holes in, but it's got electricity.
Dave, this is horrendous.
The new tenant, the new landlord said, sand the floors, we'll put in a kitchen, we'll put in a bathroom. So they're actually nicer landlords.
Oh, okay.
But you've got electricity and they've got unlimited water because they've got tanks and a borehole.
That's
all these
very
things
good.
That you get in Kailami. But when you talk about moving with Dr. Hanan,
Hanan.
Where is he from?
Hanan is a Hebrew
name. He's such
a
handsome man. I'd love to just go to therapy and just sit there and tell me about things. Well, you know, it's just a beautiful.
I'll tell you what, you would. He would not allow you to go.
Oh, really?
Therapy. No, he'd say, "I don't want this." Fuck.
We went to a tarot reading as a joke with a bunch of people, and the lady she does everyone and tells them all stuff. She says, "Please understand that these are just suggestions I'm getting from her."
Sure.
So I sit down. She throws the three cards. She puts them back. She shuffles. She puts another three down. And she looks at me. She goes, you have to leave now.
Oh, my God.
You're so such now, a disaster.
What's the worst thing a tarot card reader can tell you other than, oh, that's the death. That's the joker. That's the this. She goes, you must leave now.
So, wow.
I don't know what she must have seen.
Well, when she sees where I'm living now, she goes, you'll live in a place that has no floor, no electricity, and it's going to be great. But anyway, we're moving into a new place, and that it is stressful. Mm. When you've got no furniture, you don't really move.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to hire a truck or anything.
No, there's nothing.
So, no, you've got hardly anything to take. COVID
removals. It's just got a bookshelf, and then it's got those self-help books on the back. None of them are fucking helped. Start your life. Start your life over. Start your life over again. Start over. Stop starting your life over again. Maybe stop starting stopping. Stop. Noddy.
There we go. Pretty much the story of those are the last couple of books that you read.
Well, they and they've really helped you. Know what's like, as a comedian, you want some sort of obscure thing on stage. You don't want to be normal. And no, weirdly enough, it follows you around, the abnormality of life. Because if I tell a story and you tell the exact same story, it should be funny when I tell it. Mm. Even if it's the same stuff. That's the whole idea of, I suppose, being a comedian, eh?
Listen to this.
Were
someone,
you going to be a lawyer?
I would. Well, I studied law, but I don't think I would ever become a lawyer.
Really?
No, can you imagine?
So we had a conference now where I was the MC and there was a compliance lawyer. Oh. And he actually had quite a lack of sense of humor.
Oh, really?
Because think about jobs that never existed. He's literally compliance. Literally, he's telling people you can't do that, that can't go on social media.
Yeah.
That and keeping right. lawsuits lower and profits higher because half their money is spent on protecting their products. And fixing people that fuck it up every day. So he's literally got a job that never existed 30 years ago.
So Carl says, what sort of Jew is Dave that he doesn't know Hanan is Jewish? Probably a Hamas apologist.
Here's the thing. I've got a Jewish surname, but I never got the trust fund or the business acumen. Well, none of my family are Jewish.
So you're actually just Jewish.
Nothing. Nothing. Not even seen the inside of a synagogue.
Really, Dave?
Not
very disappointing, eh?
Are you? Cliff.
I'm not Jewish, but
that's
I'm Jewish.
Irish Welsh.
No, it's so funny thing is, no, it's English as hell. From the, I don't know, somewhere like Cheshire or somewhere dreadful. Anyway, the point is like your name doesn't really give nothing. That much away anymore.
Nothing.
You know, like there used to be a time where you could tell something about someone from their name, like Carl DeSantos, for example. We know he has a vegetable and fruit sales on the corner, you know, shop and corner. Not anymore. Like, no,
I was often told at school, like I'd go to school and then the teachers look at me and then they're carrying it. And like second break, they go, no, you're not supposed to be at home. Now I'm eating my bacon sandwich, having a jaw. And they're like, it's Rosh Hashanah. And they're like, you really don't have to be at school today. And I'm like halfway through my sandwich. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't have to be at school. And I duck. Then I tell my mom, she's like, why aren't you at school? I said, we're Jewish. My mom goes, we're not Jewish, Dave. I'm like, but they told me to come home. Now you must think if you're 8 years old, how confused you are.
You say, your mom, I love the way you're Jewish.
But we live in Springs in a fucked up house. But we're not Jewish. So then she just said to me, well, you know what? If they think you're Jewish, take the day off. So then we'd have the calendar there. And then I'd say, can I tell them I'm also like Hindu? She goes, have a go. Take the whole year off.
You know what? Your mom, I remember last time we had a conversation.
I'm writing a book.
Yeah, I know. But this is great because you remind me of two other comedians who talk about their mom. One of them, Doug Stanhope, and his mother was like, she was a proper bad, she was a problem.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he was such
my mom is she's fabulous, but it's what's called not a problem, not a hindrance, a menace.
Is she a menace?
Yeah. So she
she's
had
still
a,
going.
A shitty life. She's still going, she's 80, but she had a bad life. Like, you're talking about a war child, so whether they came to 1940, 50s kids, 40s. Sorry. Then their parents had either come back from war or not gone to the war and been chastised for it. Or just
right. You couldn't win.
Molested.
Either you got the PTSD from being in the war or you were like a...
That's the weird thing. The guys that stayed from the war made a nice house, looked at everything. When those guys came back, they said, hey, you wanker. I went out and killed stuff. Yeah. You banged my wife while I was away. Sorry, my bad. But those kids that were born, so my dad, my mom, there was a messed up life, man. So there's so much alcoholism in my family.
Wow.
Hey, Leanne.
Yeah,
$25,000. What did you spend yours on?
Well, you guys, if there's alcohol, listen, alcoholism.
I did Dry January.
Did you
for 3 days? I didn't know there was a limit.
It's expensive. Target. Let me tell you something. It is expensive to drink now.
I've stopped drinking because it's too expensive.
I thought about this over the weekend because, again, you know, when you're with people, for me, drinking is a social thing. So I look at the prices, the stuff when I'm entertaining people and I'll buy, but I don't buy for me. So I don't think, well, this is something I need. And if you look at the prices now, it's getting pretty much close to being preposterous and expensive beyond most people's reach. They're going to start making that shit in their back gardens like they did during COVID.
The limoncello.
Yeah, making pure ethanol.
That's quite interesting when you spoke about that because I used to brew beer back in the day.
Yes, I remember your beers.
I've done many things.
I think I've still got one of your beers somewhere.
Don't open it.
No, keep it.
The thing with ethanol, okay, it's highly illegal, but there is no cure for that in terms of human beings. Your body starts processing it immediately because it's such a high.
Yeah.
It goes into everywhere. So it can go into, it goes veins, it goes skin, it goes nerves, it goes everywhere because your body's processing it. So it can do a certain amount. When you're breathing fumes, your lungs get so much stuff. But you can't do it if you've drunk 25 mils or 100 mils.
No.
You've got to go to the doctor, you've got to get IV drip, you've got to get something else into your body that the body starts going, okay, let's do this first instead of doing the ethanol. But you will die.
Yeah,
you're
going to
go blind because
careful.
It actually severs your optic nerve, which is the old saying of blind drunk. Yeah. The guys used to make. It's also just alcohol levels. If your yeast and everything starts chowing each other and sugars, they start raising the alcohol levels way too much. So with alcohol, you've got a little bobber. As soon as the sugars and then they're all right, you take out the sugar. So the yeast stops farting alcohol. So because the yeast is alive.
Yeah.
So you get to a level and then you either cool it down or heat it up. So you kill the yeast or kill the sugar, one or the other. But if you're leaving it like in where we were buying in COVID, you can die. Because you don't know what those guys bought hand sanitizer and put vanilla flavor in it.
Oh, no, but proper alcoholics. Mm. I remember I interviewed somebody once.
Acetone.
And she told me that she would spray hairspray into her mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
Because she was so addicted to alcohol. So
Vicks Mennonites used to have a level of something. They had codeine in it.
Really? Yeah, that's a whole other story, right?
The 70s, best years of my life.
I saw this on X yesterday. I don't know whether it's true or not. Some 500,000 heroin addicts in South Africa.
That's huge. I mean, these are people I actually know a few.
So we
it's not only heroin. We seem to think
that alcohol is an acceptable addiction, right? It's more socially acceptable. When you think about people who do.
It won't be forever.
No, of course not. But when you think about people who do coke or anything like that, then you immediately think, well, they must be rich people. So that's more acceptable as well, socially.
Mm.
You think about smoking. Obviously, smoking's been demonized in every possible way, but you still think of smoking as an acceptable one. Coffee, food, all of those are acceptable. Heroin, not. So if we have 500,000 heroin addicts in this country.
Look to your left and look to your right.
That's a lot. That's
one in three.
But that's a lot of people.
And I know people. And you wouldn't believe when you say this person with a job. Thing. So I would say, like, if I experimented with drugs, say now at 17 or 18, peer pressure vibes, maybe smoke a bit of weed, maybe it's naughty, you'll have a few drinks. What you must skip a few steps to be injecting.
Yeah, mainlining fucking heroin.
But it's the most addictive thing. So if someone tells you, listen, that stuff or crack, it's highly addictive, and you still do it, that shows how strong that stuff is. You can't mess with that. And Jesus. These are people I have known. And
I'll tell you
died.
What, I just get scared even thinking.
And it's quick, eh? You're talking a couple of months and you don't recognize that person, then they're gone.
And then you've known them.
And then you find out later and you're like, but that's in the movies. That's in bands. That's rock stars that
but
die
how do they
these
get
things.
Into it? Because remember we interviewed that one guy on the show not so long ago, and he was like a very successful businessman, and he went in for an operation.
It was his back.
Broken his back.
Okay, so they're getting
addicted
to...
Yeah, painkillers. So the opiates, the painkillers, that's how they start.
It's
the nice one that they give you when you
properly. Oh, the morphine.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah,
and
that you can get addicted to.
And that's obviously an opioid.
If your body's got those receptors already, you pretty much you can't help it.
Well, this is how some of the people who are not like injecting themselves in the street get into this. Because they go to the hospital, they get pain relief.
It's latent. It's not.
They become addicted to that. That was his whole story. So that's how it starts.
That's why I don't have a medical aid. I do almost up
that's
at
why.
Home.
That's why you don't have a medical.
That's
aid.
Why. There's a number of reasons.
Well,
I'm writing a book about my mom.
Yes.
My sister and I spoke, and I said, "Let's write a book because she's still alive. She's sharp as hell. and we can still get some info. And it isn't lack of stuff. Eh? Some of those things hard. That she talks about are, especially with a lot of religion, and she went to a convent and all these, you know, these stories are, there's abuse in there. Physical, sexual abuse. All these things are there. And I'm like, this is in my family. I need to talk about this. So I'm writing a book.
But does she want it?
My crazy mom. No, she doesn't want it. She's the funniest person in the room who doesn't know that she's the funniest person, who doesn't want to be in the room, doesn't want to be there. We did a thing on SABC3 where they spoke to comedians. It was called Know the Behind the Funny.
Mm.
And they said, can we get your mom or your dad? I'm looking at them like, okay. I get my dad, who left when I was three.
Yeah.
He's going to come be on a show about me and my life.
Oh, my God.
It was the quietest interview. Said, and then what did David do then? He goes, I don't really know. You know, he's very funny, very funny boy.
But he's like, I don't know because I wasn't there.
That's so insane. And my mom was too shy to go on TV. That show would have been like viral.
And you're not bitter about any of that.
No. We made up our little differences. And also why? We've spoken about this. Why drag a thing? Go, remember that time when you didn't come see me and when I was in the choir?
Yeah, but
why would you even drag that up?
You do understand, like, it takes a certain kind of person to let go of shit. We were talking about this with Hanan earlier. Like, a lot of people they'll be bitter about their dad.
We're not going into the therapy part of the comedy show.
No. Yeah. I think this is interesting for everybody.
but they define themselves by it.
Yeah. Because so many people
about the baggage. If I put your problem there, Leanne's problem there, and my problem there, and I said, you can each choose another one's person's hassles, you'll take your own.
Of course.
And you'll drag it in front of you.
The devil you know.
Yeah. So we don't drag our baggage behind us. We put it in front. Have you ever met someone who goes, I've just moved and I don't have electricity and I don't have a fridge and I owe 25,000 rand to my friend? We tell our stuff before you even get to know me.
Well, that's also become, and I blame Oprah and Dr. Phil and...
Oh, to cotch out all your...
Yeah, goodness. It's become like cool for people to share all their shit up front. And very off-putting if you ask me.
It's spectrum for me.
I mean, on the show, we talk about what's going on in our lives. But it is also, it's become the thing that people do. Leanne just said now, they use it as part of their identity, right? Their problems,
like
their,
a TMI
their
thing.
Pain. Yeah, no. I think because we live in an era where
like
you're
cancer
encouraged,
survivor.
Mm. You're encouraged to share stuff from your life. This is how people bond. How they connect.
It became a thing on TikTok where having a nervous twitch became cool to have, which is shitty for the people who really have Tourette's or twitch, where the kids were copying it to be cool.
Ooh. See,
and then even my kids started doing it. I said, yeah, stop this. It's fun on TikTok. You're not doing it now when you're talking to me because you never had it before and you never will. But the sieve that goes through, I feel sorry for the ones that really have brain cancer or thing.
Absolutely, because these people they're attention seeking.
Like, I don't go around telling people I'm a certified genius.
I know. You're very straight away.
It just makes them uncomfortable. Or in another sense, makes them debunkable.
But doesn't that tell you
so.
That people, they want to be special? People all want to be special. They don't want to be lost in the crowd. The only time you want to be lost in the crowd is when you're at school and you need to fit in to survive.
That sort of gangster mentality where you need a club or a crew.
Yeah, well, and you want to be as inconspicuous as possible. And then slowly as you grow up, and I think it starts somewhere around 15, 16, you realize like the things that make me different are the things that make me interesting.
That's why I love penguins. They all look the same. None of them trying to be special. There's no special penguin that's ever made it out of the gang. They're just there. Who's that? That's Jeff. How do you know? Jerry Seinfeld says men at a wedding, there's not even the groom's just a groom. The best man's next to him. And they're both in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Because if something goes wrong, you can replace him.
Yeah.
With another man.
Right. Yeah. And you wouldn't even know.
That's the actual tradition behind it.
Be at the wedding.
Yeah.
Someone in a suit. The woman
I went to a wedding in Cape Town. Listen to this. You'll love this story since you brought up the dress code. And everybody was wearing black tie. So black bow ties. Everyone. It was the first wedding I've been to in a long time where like people actually followed the dress code. So all the guys are wearing black bow ties, jackets.
Look good.
The father of the bride wore a black bow tie and a white jacket. And as the sun went down, he changed into a black jacket. I was like, shit, that's good.
But is that the rule?
That's what you're meant to do. Wow. So he's Austrian. And I said to him, I noticed that you were wearing a white jacket, and then the sun went down and you changed into a black jacket. He's like, ah, most people, they would not have seen this.
Did you ever go to like one of those golf club things where it's really traditional, where they have the chairman and the secretary and the people speak, and they sing the national anthem, they have a toast to the president.
Yeah.
And then there literally is the master of ceremonies is the he's above everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you when to take a jacket off.
Yes.
And ladies must stand outside while the men come in.
Yes.
The ladies have a sherry. And you're like, it's 2025, bro. You hire a comedian at your golf day.
So what most South Africans will say is the lounge is the withdrawing room.
Yes.
Which
I withdraw after 3 strokes.
So the women would go into the withdrawing room after dinner.
Really,
and
like
the men would go and have cigars or that's in the smoke
jacket. Piss in a pot.
Well, I don't know about piss in a pot.
You know what's weird is that we're doing all these retro things. We're actually going back to those things where people, I don't, and it's not, and women aren't caring about it. They're like, go smoke with your friends.
Yes,
go
exactly.
Go play poker. Go be with your
boyfriends. Because there was a reason that they did that before.
To get away from them.
No, it wasn't to get away from, because women want to talk about different things to men.
Yes.
And the last thing, I mean, you've already been forced to sit next to someone at dinner
who
you might not want to talk to. Now you want to be with your friends, the actual reason that you're at the party, and you want to talk to them about
they didn't like the barrier to entry with a lot of business was done in those rooms.
Yeah.
With your Rockefellers and Rothschilds.
Sure.
So there was a massive barrier to entry in terms of business. That's the only thing that's changed. Like, I want to be in that room because that's where they're buying Pepco shares. That's where the money is. I don't mean making a salad in the kitchen with the girls. But I do have my grandfather died. He gave me a smoking jacket.
Oh, yeah?
Because
one of those velvet ones.
All of his jackets were smoking jackets.
Oh.
He smoked Texan Plain.
Wow. Oh,
that's a hardcore. That's...
He had a yellow stain here.
On his tooth.
Because it's paper. He just used to stick it there. And then he'd talk to you and this little cigarette would be wearing like this the whole time. And then when that was finished, then he put another one there. He didn't not smoke ever. It was always there.
But again, people want to be special.
I don't think he just loved nicotine.
No, but the guy also obviously had character. You wouldn't have remembered
it. No, exactly. Didn't. Exactly.
And the same goes for your mom. And the point I was trying to make there is that
stand out.
We don't want to be the same as everybody. People will say they do, but they actually really want to be thought
what
of
about
as
copying, like,
eccentric and weird, like your mom. Your mom is eccentric and weird.
But doesn't know it.
Yes, but those are the most awesome people. There was a story about the a bunch of English soldiers. And they'd surrounded some Germans, and this is in World War II. And then they decided, all right, well, what we'll do is the Germans want to surrender. So the Germans sent over someone as a representative to surrender. And the English chose their most eccentric guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of those very, very eccentric Englishmen. So he went over and he carried an umbrella everywhere he went.
A pipe.
Right. And there was no need for an umbrella, but he went over with his umbrella anyway. And these Germans were like, what the fuck's going on here? And he said to them, we want to surrender. And so this eccentric Englishman went, I didn't think about it because I don't know how we're going to feed all you chaps. And then the Germans just looked at this and thought, this guy's fucking crazy. They turned around and walked away and carried on shooting.
So there's a theory about that as well. So the crazy people are the scariest. So if you are at an ATM, like, freak out and shout at the ATM and say a poem and then spit in the air and catch it. No one will come near you, draw as much money as you want, and then they'll just leave you alone because we naturally, I suppose it's a survival caveman thing, like, leave that man alone, he's mad.
Yeah,
you want to get any mad on you.
It's a thing that women are doing now as well, where they're being followed by someone and they turn around and act.
I noticed that I was following
crazy.
Someone the other night and they started,
they started doing like the haka in front of you.
What are your hobbies? I like taking long walks. What are your hobbies? I stalk. Oh, really? I like long walks. I know. No. Why do we also follow a celebrity? So you say we want to be ourselves and be different and like wear yellow shoes. But when Yeezy or someone famous brings out a pair of shoes, we go and buy them.
Yeah.
So that's we can't resist being followers and yet we want to be individuals.
Yeah, but there's a conflict there. There's a tension between the two. So I think I would like to believe that the more comfortable you get in your skin and the more content you are with yourself, and you're a very...
So the less you're influenced by Yeezy.
Yeah, the less likely you are to be caught up in a trend, right?
Takes a long time.
And the more likely you are to eventually become very eccentric. So I love the idea of becoming a very, very weird old man.
Like, so you know what's weird is that these, you would say you would put these on as a fancy dress. Yeah. These are in my cupboard next to my other shoes.
No, but you are a bit, like a little bit of crazy goes a long way. And I do think that it keeps things interesting. I would rather be stuck on a desert island with five fucking
Uncle Otto's, like from With Nell and I.
Weird people and crazy, slightly crazy, not like fucking murderously crazy, but slightly crazy people than five totally sober, sane, dependable, competent, ordinary people. You
know? That I would watch that. Yeah. That Survivor should be like that. Like
that
proper,
would be fun.
Certified, almost certified on this craziness. Like, not and then survive.
Yeah, you but don't those are the people they put in these things.
They are.
They test them and they put them on the edge. They're on the cusp.
And also, then when centrics don't say no, that's the other thing. And you get now we got this conflict between outgoing and what's the inward and outward. What's the word?
Introvert, extrovert.
And they're spotting you, saying, "Well, if you are introvert, then you'll like this. And this is a nice website for introverts. And these are nice clothes for extroverts." Like, hold
this
on a second.
This is a nice website.
Yeah, you should all have levels of it.
What would be
it?
A nice website for introverts?
Just a blank page with a dot that you can't find
knitting
your mouse.
At home.
And it says, "We're watching you. We know where you are." What? So if you. We all should have a little bit of that as safety. Like, I'm an introvert when I can check, this isn't my vibe. And then they go, geez, Dave, you're very quiot at this party. I'm like, yeah, I'm not digging this. Oaks are doing snorts and coke or whatever. Then I'm introvert. Then when I'm in charge, then I'm supposed to be an extrovert.
Dave, we're all both.
Yeah.
Everybody's both. Exactly. Even the most unsociable, antisocial, quiet, reserved person in the right situation becomes an extrovert. You just explained your situation
too.
Everybody's a bit of both. Now they call you an ambivert. No, because we have to have a name for it and it has to be associated with some sort of mental health condition, right?
The naming of things has become out of control. My kid names some stuff and he goes, "I have social anxiety, Dad. I don't know how you stand up in front of people at a golf day." I'm like, I have social anxiety, but also like to pay my rent. So of course I'm nervous at a golf day when there's a whole bunch of drunk Dutchmen or if I'm at a conference doing, I have to make people from every single walk of life have one joke in common that we're all going to laugh at. Of course, it's massive social anxiety, but it's gone.
Have you seen the Beast games? These games that Mr. Beast does where he gives people money, but he reveals, I think, haven't watched them, but I'm talking about what I've heard about them. He reveals quite a lot about people's social behavior.
Okay.
What made me think of this is, you say you got to pay the rent. So he puts a lot of Gen Z people against Gen Xs, and Gen Xs don't give a fuck, right? So Gen X people, that's kind of our age, they'll take the money. They don't give a shit what everyone thinks of them. So if there's $1 million up for grabs, they'll be like, "I'm taking it." And but what about the Tiffany? She's got to pay for a tit job or whatever. And nobody cares about Tiffany if you're Gen X, but the Gen Zers are so filled with fear of people judging them or not being seen to be good people.
So stepping
strangers,
out of,
by the way.
It's not a comfort zone or them. It's like, you know those Venn diagrams?
Yeah.
They're stepping out of a thing that doesn't even exist.
Correct.
But they're scared to step out of it.
Correct. Because these people, you don't know them at all in these games.
Yeah.
You don't owe them a thing. They're not your children, your wives, brothers and sisters. These are not people who relate to you. And yet these Gen Z people are paralyzed with the fear of doing the wrong thing. Whereas the Gen Xers are like, "Thank you, I'll take the money." Mm-hmm. That's great.
So we were at a conference this weekend for a company I don't know. I don't know what they do, heart machines. And they had to start a rock band. So they divide up in groups and the guys train them and they did so well.
Yeah.
But the guy said, the manager said to me, can we be in a rock band, me and you, just to start the evening so they're not nervous to do their stuff.
Right.
I said, "Cool, we're going to do this, we're going to do this and this." And he's like, and he was so into it. We made costumes out of duct tape with naked underneath. We sang song. We had pies. We drank eggs on stage. We were proper punk rock band. But you could check everyone just going, like they're singing Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid. And I had duct tape on my knob. It's still sore. But this is at a company conference. But that's, you see exactly what you said. I must be Gen X then.
I said,
"I'll put duct tape on and I'll sing a song." And it took everything away from the evening. Everyone was like, "Fuck, let's go."
But the irony is that Gen X people are not the ones who are like selling nudes on OnlyFans, right? So there's social anxiety.
And yes.
But online, It's a different story.
I've got an OnlyFans account. No one's fanning.
What were you going to...
No, what is it called if you're OnlyFans but you have no fans? It's just called Only. I've got an Only account.
It's like that shirt with all of the fans on it. OnlyFans. You know, like the fans that blow air.
I like
air
all the jokes. I had a doctor in his waiting room. He had Only Ferns. I had a fish website. It was Only Fins.
I'm not gonna.
So laugh. I don't know what people like anymore.
I refuse to laugh.
So do we like feet, ankles?
Yeah, yeah. So
knees.
Nina Hasty was going to do an Only Feet, which is apparently a thing. This always comes up whenever people. I've never understood the foot fetish. Apparently, ooh, what happens is, if you're a young guy and you, like your first, I don't know, the first woman that you see who like switches on the hormones or whatever. If she's wearing like sexy shoes, and that's the first thing of
it's imprinted
her that you see, yeah, it imprints. It's like
when those ducks see the first thing, they
correct,
yeah,
and they're like, that's the mom.
Forever.
That's
the
mom.
I just realized what mine is now.
What is yours?
Nothing.
No, go on. You looked like you sounded like you were going to tell us something truly revealing.
Yeah.
No, so that's because I've always wondered why would you have the foot fetish, and that's apparently why. So these guys. At a very impressionable age, something switches on and they're like, doom. You know, now I'm like always into.
How does that explain German people taking a shit on each other?
Oh, no, but that's, I mean, Germans.
No, that is why I changed my jacket.
There's no accounting for Germans. Now, the funny thing with all of those like kinks and things is that the Gen Zers are way more open about that stuff, but they're not as open about like, dressing like a rock star.
It's weird.
In the real world, they don't want to embarrass themselves. Oh. But on the online...
go for it.
In the online world, they're not afraid of
anything. That is their whole thing. They grew up online. So online was almost like an
extension of their
lives, your personality that exists online. Where I don't know how old you are, but I also just... I don't want anyone to know what I do online. I hate Instagram where I have to post, I was at a function. I wore yellow shoes on Gaz Cliff Show. They're like, quaint. It's maybe too private, or is that our thing?
I don't know whether it's generational only, but I do think that if you've grown up with this around you all the time.
You can exist in two places.
Yeah, I mean, Leanne was saying this morning her phone battery died, so she picked up a book. It's like, wow.
And then what did you try and get the book into the phone? My phone battery died. I always carry a dynamo with me. It's attached to my bicycle. So if you ever see me riding a bicycle, it's because my battery or my phone's flat. That's why I did the 94.1.
But the idea of having...
James is laughing.
James doesn't know what any of this is about. He's like, what? You never had phones?
No. What book was it, Leanne?
The fact is like we're actually among the few... Our generation is the last generation that will know what it was like to live in a world without being surrounded by technology.
Phone had 24/7. You had to be very attentive on a cricket phone because I couldn't see you and I need to listen to your story to reply.
Yes, absolutely. So that's part of it. I mean, now, and by the way, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I noticed these WhatsApp video notes are now becoming a thing. You know where someone sends you a video note?
Instead of a voice note.
Instead of a voice note?
If it's for business,
is it
like
just
for a
gig, their face?
Yeah.
I need the dates and the times. I don't need to know a whole story. So I've got a gig. I golfed at on the 7th of Jan. Come there, be there at 6. But they say it in a voice note. So now I'm listening to the voice note and I'm left-handed, holding the phone with my left hand, writing with my right hand.
Are you comfortable?
I'm not really, hey.
Look, he's got his fucking feet. And we were talking about this just the other day. There was a kid at the gym, and look, we don't eat off this table, so maybe it's we'll relax the
Leanne.
No, Leanne, go for it.
Did you get these at Tacky Town?
Now go, Leanne. Pop your feet. There we go. Everybody get
I
nice
only just
and relaxed.
Reach.
You know what's nice? Leanne, you don't reach the table.
The one's kind of falling off.
You sounded taller on radio back in the day.
So I was talking about how it really bugs me that people put their feet on tables.
Okay. Right. No, but you weren't talking about this before.
No, I was. I was talking about
you know what I've realized? I could have done it on the side where no germs get.
There's a kid at the gym the other day, and it's in the restaurant at the entrance to the gym, and he's got his feet up like you did just now. But his feet, not his shoes.
Oh, actual toes.
His
dirty
gross, feet.
Like post-gym.
At the Kauai table?
Yeah, on the table.
No.
And so the waiter had to come over and say to him, listen, dude.
How old?
Do you mind?
14, 15?
No, he must, I don't know, maybe 18, 19.
Just, there's a whole lot of gym etiquette that is not followed.
Why do people, it's weird. Why do people,
and like you said, you literally change. They change who you are because you feel that you, they owe you. Because I'm paying 700 rand a month. I will shave my head in this basin. I will cream my balls while I'm talking about the rugby.
There was a guy who was, ugh, there's so many gross
They don't
things.
Flush the toilets. They don't, it's like, this, you owe me this space. I'm will going to be a pig now while I'm here because I'm paying you 800 rand to come here every week.
Well, it's also because they probably live very, very badly in their own houses.
I don't have
well.
A bathroom at home. I'm not joining the gym.
But where do you shave?
Well, I shave mostly my face. Gareth, where do most women have curly hair? In Africa. This is a joke. There's a joke, eh? Everywhere you look. I actually put my feet on your table because I've got a cramp in my leg.
Have you?
It's gone now.
Okay. Just get you some heroin and you'll be fine. Do you ever feel the need to like correct other people's manners?
Oh, all the time.
Do you?
Mm.
Is that a generational thing?
I think it might be, eh?
So I grew up with a very strict granny. Mm. We grew up with my granny because my mom was in the funny farm.
Yes.
And very strict. Afrikaans, but English, but grew up in Montague. Feet on the table, sit up straight, eat with your knife and fork.
No watching TV during the day.
No watching TV, listen to Tracy Dark and the Men from the Ministry and all that fucking squad cars. And in bed at 8, half a cup of coffee, so you don't wet the bed.
Wow.
Wipe your bum with wet wipes.
She had rules, huh?
Yes. And then her husband smoked Texan Plain.
He's the one who had the stain.
We had to all 18 of us had to bath it together. And then grandpa's there. The reason why he's like, I'll bath soup. The kids. You know why? Because he could smoke in the bathroom with the kids.
Oh, wow.
They bath myself, Alan, my cousin, and Graham. We're now in the bath. And we lighties. We're like 4 and 5 and 7. But and he says, he has a soap, he has a thing. And then he stood in the corner there smoking. But now we're in a closed room. With
hotboxing
with grandpa.
By your grandfather.
And then the granny's
like, Levy, are you smoking in there? He's like, no. And he swallows a cigarette.
No.
Or drops in the bath.
Oh my God.
I'm
that's
surprised
horrible.
That we're not all addicted to nicotine in some way. It would have been like a patch.
Unbelievable.
Now you want to know why I hate smoking. I cannot stand it.
And you don't smoke?
No. I had enough as a 5-year-old kid bathing
exactly
with my grandfather.
My
nicotine levels were very high.
Yeah, I have no love for
Are you smoking? And he eats the Texan.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh, no.
Terrific. You know, one of the things, because my parents both smoke that I hate doing, I'm sure you have the same problem, and you, is ashtrays.
Mm. Yeah.
I haven't.
I'm a smoker, and I hate ashtrays.
You know, I can go past a rubbish bin with wet ash in it. I smell it from
makes
a
me
mile
heave.
Away.
Have you ever, as a barman or in a restaurant, you have to clean those ashtrays with a little paintbrush.
It's horrific.
And I would buy a new paintbrush every month because that thing was.
Smoking rooms at airports, and people have to clean that stuff.
But my parents had when they were like 10 or 8 years old, smoking was in the movies. It
everywhere.
What you did.
Oh, yeah.
And it was available.
You'd
you could
smoke
buy
over
cigarettes.
The,
James,
over
flex.
The,
you know that
the freezers people, while you were grocery shopping.
People used to smoke on a plane. You'd be on the airplane. And
ashtrays were in the
someone
seat.
Would come and sit next to you, and they'd have an ashtray in the arm of the seat. See, you'd
How
be
do I
sitting
open a window?
There.
It's a, if it's a Boeing, the window opens automatically.
No, they'd have the same aircon system that we've got now, but I mean, there was a lot of smoke in that cab.
So here's another thing you don't know about that. They used to change the filters on planes back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
Because we're not smoking on planes, they're not
they don't
changing
change
the
them.
Filters. You actually have worse air now in the non-smoking environment than you
really?
Did. Really? Because they changed the air quicker.
Son of a bitch.
Because as soon as the plane landed, they'd redo the air. Now they're not doing it because we're not smoking. We're just farting.
Which is much worse, if
and
you
I
ask me.
I found that you can't fart in that little ashtray. It's just too small. I've tried my best.
But I've got to say this for the people who vape, because I've been critical
Vaping's
of people who vape.
Crazy, man.
It's all over the place, and everyone's doing it now. But that's not the reason I wanted to talk about it. At least for the secondhand smoker, the person who's got to sit around people, at least vaping is pleasant.
I get some bubble gum and some
candy
You know what's
floss.
So weird
it's
is that
so
even though I'm a smoker, I'm highly allergic to vapor.
For real allergic.
Yeah. So sometimes the Gen Zers smoke it in the office.
Yeah. What I happens to you?
It's so bad. My chest closes up.
That means that vapor's going
eyes,
into your lungs.
My eyes burn to the point where I cannot open my eyes and I battle to drive home.
Oh, shit.
Just like tears.
Do you want to talk about
wheezing?
Doctor, no.
Do you want to talk about
I'm
that's
like
terrific.
Highly allergic. I get a major headache. And people are like, "Oh, why can't I vape? Because you smoke." I'm like, no. I'm actually allergic to vapor.
That's so unfortunate.
Have you ever seen someone stop smoking if they've been smoking for 20 or 30 years? The amount of shit their body goes through. Because the body's looking for that stuff somewhere.
Really?
It'll find nicotine in your ass from 1978 and it'll try and reproduce the high. So you just, everything breaks down, especially if you're a proper smoker. So stopping smoking is a massive thing.
I can't wait until we figure out what it takes for a vapor to stop.
Because you remember, vapors talk to you like this, hey?
Yeah. How's the time, dude.
So you way more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kids, man. And they're so clever. The marketing's too good. You can't mess with BAT marketing versus Cliff Central marketing.
And you've got
Cliff Central marketing department.
And you've got all the flavors and you've got all the colors.
You can't mess with that.
I mean, I walked into a shop at New Year.
Look how big that shop is in terms of rent.
Huge, man. And I bought a vape for New Year. Like, you know how people will have a cigar at New Year or whatever? I was like, I don't smoke, but I need something to do with my hands because I get fucking bored, right? And so I bought this thing.
Did you choose?
No, it lasted me like 4 weeks before I'd finished the thing. I don't know. I chose something like mint, cool, guava. Who knows what the fuck it was? But it tasted like a sweet factory.
Yeah.
And I found myself becoming very used to it very quickly.
Quickly.
And I mean, it took me like 4 weeks to finish
the thing.
And you
can do it in the car. You can talk to someone while you're talking to them.
Dude, it's cheap. I mean, they're not that expensive.
What's happening to when you throw it away?
That's what I want to know. Yeah. It's like you throw away the whole thing. It's got electronic components. It's
plastic.
Who knows
what's in there?
Yeah. I'm going to actually open one up and just see.
You're probably not allowed to. If you open it up, then one of the Johan Rupert comes to your house and says, cut that out. Does he still own BAT?
No, he's actually,
that's Richmond.
Interestingly enough, and here's something about cigarettes that I heard the other day, is that you remember in your grandfather's time, people used to, their house would burn down because they'd fall asleep with a cigarette in their mouth, right? That doesn't happen anymore. Cigarettes are now, there are chemicals they put into the filter or whatever. It goes out.
When it reaches the asbestos part of the filter, it goes out. And then the house doesn't burn down, but you still die.
Yeah,
but in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
And then you can sue the government for
and
putting
asbestos
in your roof.
And the other thing that you'll notice is that you don't see, do you remember how many cigarette butts you'd see everywhere?
That's right.
That's
here's another thing to talk about, because we on Monday talk about everything. Oh. Packets, which used to, in the late 90s, packets used to be on the walls and in fences and in trees. Checkers packets.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you don't see them anymore.
Yeah.
So give them a kudos for saying we pay 80 cents for a packet and they're not in the trees anymore.
It's worked.
We're the only country where you do that. So, you still get free bags in America. You still get wood can bag.
And even the beaches used to be full of these cigarette butts, and they're not, because now they actually deteriorate. They're not made of like cellulose or whatever it was.
So they are actually biodegradable.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I drive
that beetle.
Couple of years.
It's just basically a petrol bomb waiting to go off.
Yes, it is.
The guy threw a cigarette out of his window, and I'm driving a beetle. I'm like, well, this is how I die. I'm going to drive over the cigarette.
I imagine, Dave.
My car's going to blow up.
That's what's going to happen.
I drove home from a gig. I don't drink at gigs because there's too many roadblocks.
Yeah.
And the guy stopped me in the beetle because you can see it's 11:30 at night and a little red and blue white beetle comes along. And he stops me and he checks my license up to date, my fines up to date. I've got my license. The car smells of petrol. I could have been doing heroin. Yeah. I could have had.
You could have done a breathalyzer. The petrol.
I could have
neutralized
it because there's so much petrol in that car. That's why I had to come here earlier just to climatize.
He sits in the car.
I laugh because we had to move that car once, and Ben, being a full metrosexual male, didn't know how to start a beetle, and I was very upset with him about that.
Were you?
Yeah, he couldn't find reverse. Didn't know where the key was. Unable to start a car from the previous century.
I think it's very cool. Listen, it's always awesome to catch up with you. I can't believe it's already 8:00.
Oh, do we go?
Yeah, we're done.
Goodbye.
We're done for the morning. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. And you've told
meetings.
Us about the Biedermeierhof complex.
And I've got meetings today. I've looked at my diary. I have five meetings.
Wow.
I've started a comedy circuit.
That's fantastic.
It's called the Comedia Comedy Circuit.
Let's,
we go around.
Let's give it a plug here because I see also this, what are you calling it? Making lemonade.
Me? No, that's a gig. That's just a gig.
Okay, so this is Making Lemonade, the comedy night.
Shame, man. That guy's had such a hard time at that actual place, Daniel at Delta Cafe.
Why?
His place blew away in that storm.
Oh, shit.
The hail came and whatever wasn't fixed or tied down, the hail took away. This is just after COVID kind of vibes. And now But Delta Cafe is a cafe is a lekker place. So we're doing that.
Okay,
on
so 15. That you, Chris Forrest, and Trevor Gumby.
Trevor Gumby might not be there because
he's so unreliable.
He's so unreliable.
Jesus, he's unreliable.
But you know what we've done? We've got Ngoba Ngobo.
Okay.
And I looked at the audience and I said, you tell me if you even know the difference. So Ngoba will be there. Trevor won't be there. I booked Trevor for a gig. And you know what? Maybe I'll put him on the poster and he'll be there. But we're all there at 7 o'clock and we're going to have a lekker evening.
Well, that's a good reason to go.
That's not part of the circuit, but I do want to start. We don't have a comedy club.
So you want to start one?
Start a circuit. No, I wouldn't do a comedy club. I'd go mad. Just to get like 10 venues, mostly restaurants.
Right.
Comedians come. We do 3 acts or 4 acts and we at least start a comedy scene because there isn't one.
It's died out since COVID, right?
So we've got 10 restaurants that are doing it now. So I'm busy. Brilliant. At the moment.
Ooh. Okay, well, that's very cool.
I haven't run out of jokes. I'm talking shit.
What's the best way to follow your stuff?
Mine's on the daveshow.biz and then look for the Comedius comedy circuit.
Okay, awesome.
Comedia. Sounds very official.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, we look good.
Nice to see you. Yeah.
Ah.
Too bad for us. Okay. Look at that. With those yellow shoes. I like those.
Jake, it's not actually touching the table, you know?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That's all we got time for today. Have an excellent, excellent week, and it's the short month of February. You know,
It'll be March before you know it.
Stop it, Leanne. Just stop
positive
it.
Energy on the Monday.
Yes, yes.
Which office do you work in?
The morgue down the road.
What do you mean?
Everyone's so quiet.
Well, she works with all these Gen Zers. Are giving her vape poison?
Yeah, our youngest employee is 18.
Jeepers. Is he hot?
She is pretty hot.
Yeah.
What does he do in the daytime? I thought you just chilled here with Gareth all day.
Yeah, she sat around, has coffee.
Really? Are you a writer, director, producer, accountant?
Head of digital marketing.
Ooh, nice. It's a real job now.
Mm, with big clients.
Fantastic, man.
Oh, suits you. All right, everybody. Ciao.